All right, so it sounds like this Jays signing is official. Kirby Yates is locked in a deal. We don't have the terms. We don't have all the details yet, but Ken Rosenthal reporting that. And our own Boom. Scott Mitchell was reporting earlier this morning that, yeah, Kirby Yates was in Dunedin, and it was more than just a kind of visit to see what's up. It looks like it was moving in this direction. So his numbers were
boom-worthy, Hazy? Boom-worthy?
It's an addition to the bullpen. His numbers were inflated last year. He was dealing with some injuries. He had surgery. But if he gets back to where he was a couple of years ago, it's a quality arm in the bullpen. It's what you're looking for. Here is MLB Insider from the MLB Network and MLB.com, Mark Feinsand. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good, fellas. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. Up here in Toronto, I'm sure you can understand this. We're a little bit jaded with the offseason because they've been linked to everyone in the league. Every free agent, every possible trade partner has been linked to the Blue Jays. And they've signed Kirby Yates. And, it's not a household name necessarily, but it's an addition. It's an arm. If he gets back to where he was a couple of years ago, I'd say this is a positive for Toronto.
Yeah, certainly not a household name in terms of the Springers and Real Mutos and LeMahieus that we've been hearing so much about with the Jays' interest. But, last year, like you mentioned, injuries really were a problem for him last year. But 2018 and 2019, this guy arguably could have been the best reliever in baseball. 2.14 ERA in 2018, 1.19 in 2019, led the league in saves, and good strikeout rates. He's a very good pitcher. The one thing is he's 33 years old. He'll be 34 in March. So this is not a young reliever, but certainly a guy who's been around, found his stride sort of in his early 30s. And, this isn't going to be the move that puts them over the top, but it's certainly a move that will help them as they move forward here.
Mark, the Springer tweets keep coming out, and I'm getting pessimistic about them because all the tweets say this. Springer has narrowed it down to Toronto and the Mets. And in my head, I know he's going to pick the Mets. And I don't know why I'm doing that. I don't know why I think that. I don't know if it's the Canada thing or the market New York. But I kind of have it in my head that he's not picking the Blue Jays. Can you convince me otherwise?
I think most people are thinking that because not of the Canada thing, but more of the Connecticut thing, as in that's where he's from. And that's obviously much closer to Citi Field than it is to the Rogers Center. That said, my gut tells me that wherever he's offered the most money is where he'll wind up going, because that's typically how these things work. Obviously, Steve Cohen has enough money to offer whatever he wants, but he's also a good businessman, and he knows that there's not an unlimited amount of money he's going to spend on the team. So, would the Mets probably be viewed as favorites? Yeah, but I don't think it's an overwhelming favorite by any means. Toronto's been pretty aggressive on Springer and just in general in this market. And, I think players like to see that. They don't want to be – most players don't want to be the one asset, the one acquisition where they get there and all the eyes are on them and it's like, well, great, I have to do everything or else this team's not going to succeed. and the fact that the Blue Jays are trying to do as much as they are and they've got the good young core in place already and a couple of good pitchers. And, it's not like it's an unappealing destination. I don't know how much – the 2021 situation of where are they going to play their home games. Will it be in Toronto? Will it be in Dunedin? I don't know how much that could factor into Springer or other big free agents' decision-making process, but I certainly think that they're a serious contender for him, whether they wind up getting him or not.
Well, we're chatting with Mark Feinsand from MLB Network, and you just hit on something I touched on earlier in the hour, a little bit indirectly, but when you talk about the Mets, you bring up their owner, and you bring up Steve Cohen, and everyone knows he's splashing money, and everyone knows they went out and acquired Lindor, and they're going to pay him, whatever that is, $300 million, $325, $350, they're going to pay him. And I said earlier in the hour, Mark, that I understand why Jays fans are targeting Shapiro and Atkins in terms of getting something done here, but ultimately they're working under the pay structure and the budget that the ownership supplies to them, and they have a lot of money available, you would assume, based on the nature of the business and the size of the business. I think it's on the owner to say, if you want Springer and he's going to take the top dollar, make sure it happens. Because Shapiro and Atkins, they can't spend money that isn't theirs. If they've been told you can spend $100 million on a player and that's all you got, and the Mets offer $110, they're going to lose. But if the owner steps up and goes, make it $120, and he's coming here, I think that's probably what has to play out here.
when it comes down to these big nine-figure contracts, it's always about the owner, right? I mean, as good as a general manager may be, if he doesn't have the green light from his ownership to go write the biggest check, then he's probably not going to get the player. And, you know, look no further than New York, where, you know, the Yankees have fallen short in their pursuit of some free agents in the past because Hal Steinbrenner has said, you know, our payroll's high enough and we're not going higher than X, and the player, to get a player, would have taken more. I mean, this year alone, you know, the Yankees have plenty of money. Hal Steinbrenner is worth a ton of money, but they're not getting aggressive in going after Trevor Bauer. They, you know, they might not even bring back Masahiro Tanaka because of the price tag. So, you know, at the end of the day, the owner has to be the one to greenlight a big acquisition of that nature. And, you know, the question is, Steve Cohen, his first year owning the team, big lifetime Met fan, et cetera. Does he want to come in and, you know, make these big splashes to win over the fan base and try to win right away? You know, today's news with the GM, would they maybe just go sign George Springer to try to put the attention elsewhere? I don't know. Anything's possible, I guess. But, you know, I think the guys who own and the companies and the women who own baseball teams own them because they've been very successful in life doing other things for the most part. And so because of that, they're not just going to keep open a blank checkbook. They're going to look at it from a business perspective, and how is this going to help us on the field? How is it going to help the bottom line? And I think that's what it will come down to in terms of, you know, when you're looking at guys like Bauer and Springer.
With Mark Feinstein, and you mentioned the story out of New York. Jared Porter had been the GM. He was fired this morning via Twitter, basically, from Steve Cohen. And the story broke last night, courtesy of ESPN, that he was harassing a woman, sending 62 unanswered texts in a row and lewd pictures. And it was an absolute must. He had to go. You've been covering baseball for a long time, and I guess, as a result, the sports world for a long time. I'm not sure this would have happened on the same timeline 2 or 3 years ago, certainly not 10, 15, 20 years ago. I think that should be noted. I mean, the details are crazy, and they're it's insane what this guy was doing, and it was harassment. But the fact that the Mets pounced this quickly, I think, is a good sign of where we're going with the sports world and in baseball in particular, Mark.
I don't think there was a choice. I mean, the fact that ESPN had the text messages, you could see what they were, you had all of the gory details of, you know, the number of texts he sent, and you know, the fact that they were unreturned, and he just kept going with them, and then obviously some of the photos. There was no other ending to this story other than Jared Porter getting fired. I think it might have happened if this was just a random woman he was doing these texts with, but the fact that it was a media member in a position of, you know, a baseball executive who has the ability to you know, hold some business power over that person, there was no way that this story was going to end anyway other than him being fired, because how could he possibly deal with, you know, media members in New York with this sort of history on his ledger? So, yeah, it's a good sign, and I don't know what would have happened 2 or 3 years ago or 10 years ago. Certainly 15 or 20 years ago, there, you know, text messages weren't what they are now, and social media wasn't what it is now, and there may have been a way to try to keep it quiet. I don't know. But, you know, thankfully we're in an era where there's accountability for these actions. And, you know, I mean, obviously there were a lot of women outraged on Twitter today, but there were just as many men outraged on Twitter. This is not, you know, not a way to behave and not a way to act for anybody, but certainly somebody in his position. And I think, you know, this was a foregone conclusion from the minute this story dropped last night, that it was going to end with him no longer being the GM of the Mets.
Well, Mark, Steve Cohen kind of feels like the exception as a new owner willing to spend. But to bring it back to free agency, how much do you think the lack of attendance this year is affecting ownership decisions? Like, I'm thinking of the people who own the Jays. If I'm looking ahead to this season and there's not going to be fans, like, maybe that impacts what I'm going to do in free agency.
I think it has to. I mean, when teams don't know what their revenue stream is going to look like, that's going to impact how much money they're willing to spend on players. And I can tell you this, having spoken to a number of executives from a number of clubs, we're sitting here on January 19th, and I can tell you that there are still teams out there that don't fully know what their payroll is going to be when the season starts. And that's because it's such a fluid situation with, you know, whether they're going to be allowed to have fans in the ballpark, how many fans are they going to be allowed to have in the ballpark. You know, still to some extent, how many games are they going to be playing? Is it going to be 162? Is it going to be 140? Is it going to be, you know, there's so many uncertainties surrounding the 2021 season that teams are just sort of sitting there waiting. And I think the reason we've seen the free agent market moving as slowly as we have is that a lot of GMs, a lot of executives just don't know what they have to spend yet. Their owners are sort of saying, well, you know, once I figure out what our revenues could look like, then I'll figure out how much you can spend. But until then, this could be a slow process. So until we get some of those answers as to what 2021 is going to look like in ballparks, I don't necessarily think this is going to change.
Yep, I think you're absolutely on point with that, and we'll see. I mean, hopefully pitchers and catchers report in about a month and a half, and hopefully guys are signed and we move on with our lives, but that's not what we've become accustomed to in the last year with the way this world operates right now. Great stuff as always, Mark. Really appreciate it. We'll do it again down the road.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Here's Mark Feinstein from MLB Network and MLB.com. So, yeah, the Jays, you know, Kirby Yates, it's a good signing based on what he did a couple of years ago in San Diego. And if he gets his arm back, he bolsters the bullpen, that's a good start. You know, make some hay and go out there and grab one more big name. And all is good here with the Blue Jays. But as Mark just said, and we brought up multiple times, I think it's on ownership to go over the top rope here. You know, Shapiro and Atkins are working within a budget. The budget can be changed by one person or one boardroom. And it's if Rogers
the ownership,
steps up,
if the mandate, Hayes, was get Bauer or Springer, I want one of them. Are you getting Bauer, obviously?
I'm not sure I would. Like, Springer plays every day. You know, like,
dude, starting pitching is what it's all about, though.
I can't disagree with you there. I worry about Bauer a little bit. Like, Springer's 31, but I think he's going to be consistently good for a number three or four more years. Like, Bauer, I don't know if he holds up. I don't know if, and
so
Bauer, I think, is going to cost even more money.
Springer's 31. How old were Tulo, and obviously they had some injury issues, Tulo and Josh Donaldson when they were on their way out of here?
33, 34. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, not much beyond that. I hear you. Not that much.
It's like they're dying to get Springer at 31, but those other guys, and they had the analytics on it, like Jonas Nylander here. They
WRC Plus. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Nice. WRC Plus.
Very, very quality underlying stat, just to let you know exactly the value of every single player.
Yep.
And exactly how everything's going to play out. Yeah, I don't know. Tulo was a little bit older, as Grappler points out. And Tulo just broke down.
But,
like, Tulo, remember, he showed up and he
Tulo
had no
couldn't
heels.
Even walk. Yeah, he couldn't walk.
That wasn't the Jays pushing him out. That was him. He couldn't play.
But do you guys remember in the NBA offseason when Charlotte signed Gordon Hayward? And people thought it was just like an insane contract. But they got him. Like, and they're like a team that's not going to get free agents. So the only way to get him.
The first game with Charlotte.
Yeah, he's always hurt. But, like,
thinking that with Josh Anderson last night. He left the game early for Montreal. I'm like, here we go. This guy has had so many injury problems. And he returned and he was fine. But
they paid him, too.
Paid him a fortune.
Yeah.
A fortune.